Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
So, Ben, how are you doing today?
I am doing marvelous. How about yourself, Scott?
I am currently caffeinating, so you might hear me wake up over the course of our conversation.
All right. I am doing the same, although I'm about half a cup in now.
I am jealous of your half a cup and will strive to surpass you.
All right. We can have a coffee drinking competition while we record. See who can get the most wound up.
More fun than you can shake a sugar pack at.
Absolutely. Especially when we get to talk about more licensing and specifically assigning licenses to users.
Yeah, that was a little funny. We set out to talk about licenses and license management, and we ended up talking about SKUs and SKU packs and not actually a whole lot about how you apply those day-to-day or manage the life cycle of your users, right? Not so much the services, but really the users that get assigned to those services.
Right. So this episode, we'll call it part two of licensing and actually jump in and look at that aspect of it and how you can assign it, how you can manage those user licenses, stuff like what happens when licenses get removed. So what do you want to start with today?
Let's start at the beginning. So you go out and remember, friends only let friends buy enterprise licenses. So you go out and you buy some nice new shiny E3 licenses and you're sitting there with your first block of users. How are you going to get those assigned? Is that an automatic thing or how does that happen?
There is absolutely nothing automatic about it. You have a block of licenses, you have a block of users, and nothing's there. So the first thing you do have to do is go in and actually start assigning those licenses. There's a bunch of different ways you can do it. We'll go over some of those as we keep going through the podcast. But the easiest, most straightforward way, if you're just getting going, you just have a couple users you want to assign licenses to, is simply go into the GUI. Go to that Office 365 admin center, go find your active users, pick a user, and start assigning licenses to them. It's just a little, it's like a toggle switch. If you've ever had a toggle switch in your browser.
It's an Office UI NG fabric, blah, 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 on off button.
I like toggle switch.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it, right? We just flip from on to off and we select a product, right? So if I wanted to assign you an E3, I would go in and before I assigned you a license, one big thing I'd have to do is set your usage location. So, you know, I've got to put whether you're in Honduras or the United States or Iran, and, you know, that dictates what services you're going to have access to in Microsoft's cloud. And then I can go ahead and say, okay, Ben, here's an E3 for you. And by default, when you flip one of those switches, a user will get access to everything within that SKU pack, right?
Yep. And like you said, then it's all on Exchange, SharePoint. The nice thing is you can limit those. So even though, like you said, you turn on the E3, everything's there by default. If you expand that E3 after you assign it, you could go and turn off specific ones. So maybe you're rolling out to your users and you just want to try Exchange first, or you just want some of the collaboration features. You can go into any one of those, the E3, the E5, and turn everything off except Exchange, or maybe you want everything on but SharePoint. Just because you have the E3 in the bundle of licenses, you don't have to assign all of those licenses. You can pick and choose within that E3 what you want assigned to any particular user.
Yeah, which is one of those really powerful things. I think people forget about that quite a bit, is the ability to mix and match SKU packs and then entitlements within those SKU packs. So like you said, I can have a block of users or a set of users that are assigned just Exchange licenses and just Skype licenses. And maybe I have other users who I want to have just SharePoint and just Exchange without the ability to do Skype. Or you look at new services that are rolling out like Teams. Teams is one of those entitlement-based license kind of things. So if you're not ready to go for the whole organization, you can customize your SKU packs and apply those licenses on a user-by-user basis, just straight through the GUI, right?
Yep, it's really nice. One thing to be aware of, though, is that some of these licensing packs, both contain the same licenses. For instance, in E3 and in E5 contain that SharePoint Online plan too. I know some of the Dynamics plans, if you're using Dynamics, also contain SharePoint Online plan too. If you're going to assign both Dynamics and an E3 to a user and you turn them both on, click save, it'll actually throw an error that you're trying to assign that SharePoint Online license plan too twice to the same user. So you actually have to go into Dynamics or to your E3 and turn one of those SharePoint plans off.
Yeah, it's a good point. You do have to think ahead for some of that stuff. Another one that does that as well is Project, the new Project Online licensing. That breaks out to 3 or 4 separate entitlements underneath them, and one of them's the SharePoint entitlement. So definitely something to keep in mind. Awesome. So I've got a GUI, I've got a bunch of users, I'm in the admin portal, I've been clicking around and having fun. And, you know, that worked really well for me when I had 15 or 25 employees. But now I've stepped up a little bit and I'm managing an organization of a couple hundred folks, or, you know, 10,000, 100,000. I'm managing a lot more people. Are there any options for me for automating that or scripting some of that stuff through?
Absolutely. And this is the way I've done it a lot. You can do everything with PowerShell. Just like we've mentioned in some of the other episodes, PowerShell, it's a great tool and it's just as powerful when it comes to licensing. If you want to assign users on a regular basis, or if you want to even validate that users have the same licenses, turn licenses off, make sure they adhere to whatever you've set, because another one of your admins could go into the GUI and change a license, you could write a PowerShell script that it runs on some other server, some other machine, and just loops through all your licenses and either sets it at that E3 level and E5, as well as within that goes in assigns or unassigns certain products. So using PowerShell, using like a Windows timer job, a script you've written, you can easily write that to run on a regular basis. Maybe you create all your users on Thursdays and Fridays. Your company, everybody starts on a Monday. You set that script to run over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday. Go look for any new users, assign licenses, go kind of do an audit of your users, make sure nobody's turned something on that shouldn't be. Like you said, maybe there's a new feature that came out that Microsoft does have a habit at times of coming out with new products, new features, and in their infinite wisdom, they automatically turn it on for everybody when it comes off instead of leaving it disabled and then turning it on. So you could write that same PowerShell script, run through all your users, turn off that new service that Microsoft has released until you're ready to roll it out. So from that perspective, there's a lot of automation, a lot of power you have around PowerShell, just in managing and keeping users with the right licenses assigned, or assigning new ones, or turning them off.
Yeah, that's great functionality. So, you know, you've got PowerShell, and like you said, we can automate that and throw it out on a jump box or, you know, someplace where we can run that from. So one of the things that happens there is, and people should be aware of this, is there's two different kind of PowerShell commandlet sets that are out there today for managing some of this stuff through, because ultimately your licenses and the entitlements and everything are managed inside of Azure Active Directory. So we used to have like Microsoft Online Services, MSOL, and the set of commandlets that came along with that. So there's kind of legacy MSOL, and then there's the new Azure AD preview commandlets, where you can do a lot of the same license management and things like that. So if you have existing scripts out there, you might want to take a look at transitioning those over today and what that looks like based on the previews that are out there. Or if you're just stepping into it today, definitely take a look at that new kind of latest and greatest stuff and get up to speed on that, because you do have to know a little bit about Azure Active Directory, not just about Office 365 as you go through all this.
Yeah, and I think those might actually be out of preview now. I know there's an Azure AD V2 and V1. I think it actually came out of preview recently.
Yeah, I was playing with them the other day. They said V2 was out there, so went through and did the force and, you know, the update and things like that just from PowerShell Git. And it still feels a little previewish for some of the things, like the documentation's catching up and everything else. So they might call it out there, but you know, if you've got MSOL based stuff, keep that in place for now.
Yeah. And as, again, like you said, as it goes out, if you're finding scripts that are MSOL and you do have the Azure AD V2 installed, be aware they'll all break because they changed all the MSOL stuff to Azure. Some of it's Azure AD Directory. It is a lot longer than MSOL. But be aware of that. As you're writing scripts, as you're looking for examples out there, you might have to start converting those scripts you find to remove the MSOL and add in Azure AD directory.
Yep, that or just Azure AD. Some of them are a little shorter.
Yeah, it seems like they've gone back and forth a little bit on those.
Yep, welcome to preview-ish stuff, sort of released, but maybe not really. All right, so cool. So we went through, we talked a little bit about GUI, we talked about PowerShell. I'd imagine, being that I can do this in PowerShell, there's probably an API or something else. So we can probably do that with, if we wanted to roll a custom application or something like that as well, right?
Yep, that's another option that's out there. Again, we're not developed, well, Scott used to be a developer until he converted to a better life and became an IT pro. But there are APIs out there. There's the Graph API. There's different APIs available to developers. So if you want to write your own custom app, if you want to go out and look for some third-party apps to help you manage licensing, I know there's some out there. That's also an option to buy a custom app, to write a custom app, to interact with the API, and to manage licenses that way. So you could do some automation, some auditing, everything that way as well. Again, we won't dig too deep into that one. That could probably be a podcast all in and of itself. We can refer to some developers to go come up with a podcast about that.
Awesome.
And then there's a fourth option, and this is one of your favorites. It's super powerful, and for someone that may not be super familiar with PowerShell, doesn't want to go in and assign 50,000 licenses manually through the GUI, we have one other way to do it. And what's that way?
So that is group-based licensing. So this is brand new. This just came out in February of this year. It was released in preview mode. So it's in public preview right now. This does require a paid Azure subscription or a trial subscription, just to Azure AD basic or premium. So what this lets you do is it lets you assign licenses based on security groups. So you talked about, scripting these things out with PowerShell and maybe containerizing some of that logic and having it encapsulated within a PowerShell script, right? Go out to my Active Directory and find this OU and this security group and go ahead and apply these things. So you can go a level above that and go up into Azure Active Directory, and now you can start to assign those licenses to your users automatically straight through Azure AD. And it's a very additive process, or kind of a layered process. So maybe what I want to do is have a security group in my Active Directory called, let's stick with E3s. So I want to have an E3 base, right? So all my users that go into the E3 base group get Exchange and Skype. And that's kind of my E3 base and my standard set of services. And then for other users, maybe I want to entitle them for some other things like SharePoint or Office 365 Teams. So then I can build out another security group called, instead of E3 base, I can have E3 SharePoint and E3 Teams, and I can layer different users into those security groups, and Azure AD will dynamically assign and unassign those licenses pretty much within minutes just from those users being added into those groups all up across the board. So it's really cool, and it supports today all Microsoft Cloud services that require user level licensing. So that's everything from the Office 365 SKU packs, Business Premium, E3s, E5s, all that stuff, all the way through to EMS licensing, so Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite, or like you mentioned, Dynamics CRM, things like that. Those are all also in there as well.
Very nice. So I know because this is still in preview, it hasn't been around a whole lot. Do you know how quick it comes out? Like we talked about with Teams, it gets released in preview, it's turned on by default. As soon as they release a new product, does that licensing option show up in the group-based licensing as well? So as soon as it comes out, you can make sure you add it to, say, turn it off? Or hasn't it been around long enough yet that we really have a feel for that, if there's a gap there in time?
No, it's there immediately. It's just enumerating the SKU packs. So if it's anything that's user-based, it just lights up and it's there. So Teams was there on day one as they went ahead and lit it up and pushed it through. So, if you're in an existing tenancy and that's a feature or functionality that you're interested in and you didn't know too much about it, if you participate in Fast Track Teams can help you move through some of that stuff. And all the documentation's very up to date on it as well, as far as what goes into group-based licensing and how it all comes together. Everything from assigning licenses, doing some of that license resolution, like you talked about. So I have two groups that are both have the ability to get P2s. So how am I going to do that and make that work? And also migration paths. So going from individual licensing or user-by-user licensing to the group-based. And then you can also manage all that stuff with PowerShell as well. So you can create those rules and actually get some information back about what's going on with license counts and things like that as well. And they've got some really good examples of that on the new documentation portal.
Very nice. Definitely something to go out and play with. And like we've kind of said before, a lot of this Office 365 stuff, it's not just Office 365 anymore. There's a lot of ties between Office 365 and AD. Or not between AD, between Office 365 and AD, but also between Azure, specifically Azure AD. So as you go spend some time in Office 365, you really want to make sure you're getting to know Azure as well. Azure AD, Intune is up in Azure. It's not just an Office 365 thing, it's definitely an Azure thing too.
Very much so. You know, it's been that way for a long time, right? All of us have been Azure subscribers, whether we knew it or not. And it's just coming more into the forefront these days.
Yep, exactly. I know initially I'd go tell users, hey, you have Azure running under the scenes already. You can go leverage that for stuff. And they're like, we do? We didn't do that. We just signed up for Office 365. Yep, as a part of it, you got Azure. Surprise.
Yeah, it's a brave new world, right? All right, cool. So we've got a couple different ways to manage this, from GUIs to PowerShells to group-based licensing, all those kinds of things. Just a little bit on the user side. So once I've assigned a license, what do I see or how does that happen? So, you know, you have an Exchange license and I don't. Are our views of the world a little bit different?
They are. And this is one really nice thing I think about Office 365. Again, you and I both come from that SharePoint world. We're used to the security trimming and SharePoint Online, where if you don't have access to something, whether it's a site, a document, you just don't see it. You could go to the exact same document library as somebody else, the exact same spot in SharePoint as someone else, and you see two completely different things based on your permissions. Office 365 does something very similar in terms of like a license trimming, is what I called it in our notes. But essentially, if you have an Exchange license and I don't, if you go click on the waffle up in the upper left-hand corner, the nine squares up there, or if you go to your homepage such as portal.office.com where it gives you a list of all your apps, you only see the apps, the services, the products that you're licensed for. So if you have Exchange and SharePoint, you may go there and see Exchange, SharePoint, maybe you have the Word and Excel Online apps. You'll see all of those. Maybe I go there and I'm only a Skype for Business user, or even more limited, I'm just a global admin without any license assigned. I won't see any of those products. I won't see Exchange. I won't see SharePoint. I won't see the Office Online apps. So depending on how those licenses are assigned, it limits, trims out, so that you only see apps you have access to. So you're not going to click on Exchange and get access denied, or you're not licensed for this, it just doesn't show up.
Gotcha. So when you talk about not being able to see it, you're really talking about tiles that appear in the app launcher, right?
Exactly.
Or the Azure AD account management portal. Yeah. So you do have to be careful with that. There are some SKUs that are locked out, like Exchange. There are some that aren't, though. So you can still get into SharePoint Online, even if you don't have a SharePoint Online license. So if you have like your intranet portal or something like that, just because users don't have a license to it, if they get sent a link to it and it's open to a security group like everyone, or it has that kind of blanket SAML claim on it, guess what? Everyone's going to be able to get in, and SharePoint's not going to enforce that licensing. So you've got to be careful on a product by product basis how that comes out. And over time, they kind of go back and forth on this. So I remember when they very first released the user-based licensing for Yammer, when they were making the transition into Office 365 services. And initially, all the Yammer entitlement did was hide the Yammer tile, like you're talking about, kind of trim it out and put it away. But today, it actually prevents people from having access to the service. SharePoint's the really big one that comes to mind, where it'll let you into SharePoint, whether you have a license or not, depending on the actual license. Security groups and ACLs that are on the SharePoint sites.
Yeah, and SharePoint's that goofy one too, because like we mentioned, Teams, and I can't remember if I've tried this yet or not, again, because Teams is relatively new, but Teams under the covers use SharePoint. So have you tried assigning a Teams license and not assigning a SharePoint license to see what happens?
I haven't, but I'd imagine you'd be able to get in, like I said, because SharePoint doesn't do license enforcement at all. Like, it's just not in there today. So you do have to be a little weird with it. And Teams is another one of those things. I think it's important to mention when you're going through and you're customizing all these SKU packs and entitlements and things like that. So some entitlements, like having an entitlement to Teams means that I'm going to need a couple other things anyway, right? Like, I need an Exchange license so that I can get to the shared inbox for the Associated Office 365 group, or I need a Skype license to be able to participate in those Skype conversations, and those don't automatically light up, you know, if I just light up Teams. So you do have to understand some of the other underlying things that go into these products.
Yeah, I used to say licensing in Office 365 was a lot easier than on-prem. I would still say licensing and assigning licenses and making sure all your users are licensed properly in Office 365 is easier than on-prem, but I'm not so sure that it's significantly easier. It's definitely getting more confusing, a little bit more complicated as they roll out these various products, various licenses, various dependencies on other licenses. Skype for Business is another one where certain phone features, you have like a tiered licensing where you need to assign Cloud PBX before you can assign a PSTN calling. There's definitely a lot of things to be aware of there as you go through and assign your users' licenses.
Gotcha. So once we've got all these licenses assigned, people come and we onboard a bunch of new people. The flip side of that is people leave your organization, right? And they go away and they move on to better things. So what happens when user leaves or you need to remove one of these licenses?
So there's a couple different things that can happen there. One, a user leaves and you do have the option when they leave to just block their sign-in. It's much like disabling a user in AD. You just go into their licensing settings or into their user settings rather and say, sign-in is not allowed. So now this user is still licensed. They're still consuming a license. So all of their services still exist in the background, their Exchange mailbox, their OneDrive for Business. That's all there. It'll stick around. They have a license. They're just no longer allowed to sign in. But obviously, you don't want to do that. You're paying for this license on a monthly basis. That's maybe a short term if you need to lock them out for some reason. But by and large, once a user leaves, you're going to want to remove those licenses from that user so they can go be consumed by a user that came to replace them, some other user in your organization that needs a license. So you're going to be recycling these licenses between the users. Once you remove a license from a user, just like we said before, they can't sign in, they can't get to anything anymore. Their data is then actually marked for deletion, but it's not deleted for 30 days. So their OneDrive for Business, their Exchange mailbox, their Exchange archive, any of those personal data stores associated with that user will still exist within your tenancy for 30 days. So we've all had it before where maybe we disable the license by mistake. Maybe a user leaves and comes back within 30 days. It didn't work out. Grass wasn't really greener on the other side of the fence and you let them back in the door. Maybe after you disable it, you realized, oh shoot, we need to go get something out of their OneDrive for Business before it's deleted out of their email. You can go reassign them a license. And within that 30 days, it'll actually hook everything back up together. So John left, you unassigned John's license, all his stuff was marked for deletion. 15 days later, you went and gave him a new license. It hooks it all back up to his original Exchange mailbox, OneDrive for Business. So you could go in and get to his data and it wouldn't be deleted then because now he has that license back assigned to him. It's back to all hooked up to his original information.
Nice and easy, right? What happens exactly after 30 days if I need to get that data back? Is there any way or is it just gone forever?
It is gone.
Something pretty important to plan ahead for, right?
Yes. No longer recoverable, no longer findable, discoverable, retrievable. It's gone.
So you have to have a little bit of a plan.
You do.
And There are ways, like you talked about, to retain some of that data if you need to. So if I'm licensed or if I have licensing available, I can apply a litigation hold to a mailbox. I could always export it to a PST, push it someplace else if I need to get the data into really a more fitting or better scenario. SharePoint Online still runs through the regular deletion process for OneDrive. So if you have your tenancy configured the right way, that OneDrive is automatically going to be assigned to the manager. They're going to have 14 days to go in, get the data out, figure out what they need, what needs to happen there. They might need all 14 days to sift through a terabyte of their employees' data and figure out what they want. But, you know, that's for another day.
Yeah, we'll go in and talk about that one another time. And I know some people, too, you see companies out there that have some backup products for Office 365. It's a very resilient system. In terms of a disaster recovery plan, backup's not super important. At least in my opinion, it's Microsoft has their own disaster recovery plans for your tenant. But this is where one of those backup tools that can back up some of your Office 365 data too may actually come in handy, as maybe you want to be able to keep it backed up for longer than 30 days. And it's cheaper for you to go purchase a backup product than to keep extra licenses hanging around to keep assigned to users. Those backup products can come in handy to grab that data out of Office 365, keep it backed up, keep it available to you for more than 30 days after you unassign a license.
Yeah. One of the other things I'd throw in there too is I see a lot of people seem to forget this one. So you mentioned blocking the accounts and making sure that they can't sign into Office 365 services. But say you had something like Exchange with email, you do have to go into Exchange Online and disable Active Sync and things like that for those mailboxes so those devices can stop pulling email. Because if they have a token or they've signed in and authenticated to that service and they don't have to sign in again for a while, you could possibly have an employee out there who still has access to, at the very least, their mailbox. And that tends to be a pretty big one.
Yeah, definitely. Or you just need to use that MAM we talked about previously, where you just wipe out all their data when they unassign a license.
Yeah, if only everybody did that, life would be so much easier.
Yeah, it would. So we're getting close to time here. Do you want to wrap it up or cover one more quick topic?
I say we wrap.
All right. I'm with you. Let's wrap it up for the day, and we'll be back next week with more Office 365 goodness.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.